Good morning, everybody. Good morning to you all. Welcome to those of you that are going to be joining me right now live, or welcome whenever you happen across this. I'm so glad that you are tuning in, and I am blessed by your presence. Hope that everybody had a good Thursday or a good whatever day that you had yesterday. I don't know when you're watching this. It's Friday here, though, and that baffles me. I don't know how it became Friday so quickly. Maybe your week has drug along in the midst of this. Mine has not. All right. So, good to see everybody joining in. Stacy and Jenny, good morning. I know others are watching, too. Welcome. Let's go ahead and get started, because we've got a lot to get to today. Again, good morning to everybody. Well, yesterday we ended our mini-series on the value, on the benefits of studying the Bible. But before we move on to our next series on Monday, and by the way, Lord willing, be back Monday morning, 7 a.m. live, or you can find this on sermonaudio.com or on our Facebook page. But I wanted to do something, excuse me, that originally came to me in the form of a question. One of our church members actually wrote me this past week asking me for some suggestions on how to do Bible study. And I said, wow, what an excellent idea. Why didn't I think of that? I should have started with that. How do you read the Bible? That should have been number one. But better late than never. All right, so that's what we're going to talk about today. That's the focus of our daily devotional thought. Let's talk about how to actually study the Bible. I've been asking you if you study the Bible and if the Bible is important to you, but to make the assumption that everybody knows how to read the Bible is not probably, I'm tongue-tied, it's improper to make. Remember, our passage, the scriptures are useful for training. The reality is that we as people need to be trained to do what we do. And if we're not trained, we need help. We're creatures that have to learn what to do. So, for the sake of this devotional, we're just going to talk about the Bible and how to study it as a whole. And I'm going to give you what I think are some helpful pointers. So, if you don't have a pen or pencil, and grab one and write a few of these down. But also, if you don't get them down, watch it again. You can, after this thing is posted, you can fast forward, you can rewind, you can do whatever. Now, first off, it's important to have the right kind of Bible. And no, I don't mean in terms of study Bibles. Let's start with translation, okay? The most important thing that you can do, if you're not going to learn the Greek and the Hebrew, start your Bible study with a faithful translation. The English Standard Version, the ESV as some call it, is an excellent translation. The New American Standard Bible, very faithful translation. It's a little bit more difficult to read, but it's an accurate translation. The New King James Version, it is a faithful translation, and it's much easier to read than the King James Version. If you want to do King James, more power to you. But especially for somebody that's new to Bible study, I would recommend going with a language that is easier to read. The New King James Version is a good one. Personally, I preach from the Christian Standard Bible. That's the CSB, which is a relatively recent kind of updating of the Holman Bible. I went with that because while I like the translation of the New King James and the ESV and the NASB, I think the CSB is easier to read, and I think it does a good job. Most recently in these devotionals, I've been using the 1984 NIV. And there's a reason why I stress 1984. If you can find a 1984 NIV, go ahead, read it. I personally love it. But it's becoming harder and harder to find. Zondervan owns the translation. They've been phasing it out. You can't even find it online anymore. All right, so everything online is the newer translation, which I think is 2014, 2017, and I do not recommend the new NIV. It does some real butchery to the text in an effort to promote gender inclusivity. All right, for example, Psalm 8, and this is just one that comes to mind. The term Son of Man is completely erased and it's substituted with something else, and I think that the text is affected. So avoid the new NIV. All right. There's a few more translations out there that I would stay away from. Be aware that there is a difference between a paraphrase and a translation, right? When you think of paraphrase, it's not that a paraphrase is terrible, but it is not a translation of God's Word. The Living Bible is one of them, the Good News Bible, the Message is probably the most recent one, the Story, which was never even called a translation, it's a book. But there's a lot of paraphrases out there that are okay for you know, personal edification, but they are not the Bible. All right? It's a paraphrase of the Bible. It's the Reader's Digest version of the Bible. For Bible study, get yourself a good translation. Now, I've mentioned it. Let's talk about study Bibles. What I'm going to say here is going to sound pretty vague, all right? And it's not because I'm trying to be vague, but the reality is, y'all, there is a study Bible for every single occasion out there. And I cannot comment on their faithfulness because there are so many, I don't even know. Realize this. The only inspired Bible is the 66 books of the Old and New Testament. Everything else that is in there, no matter how faithful the study Bible is, it is added. It's no different than a book that somebody has written. It's well-intentioned, it may be excellent, and it may be even right. But the Bible is the Bible, not the study portion of the Bible. All right, but there are some really good ones out there. This one is mine. I actually preach from this one because it's nice and wide, and I can see it well in the pulpit. But it is the Spurgeon Study Bible. It's the CSB Study Bible. And I think it's good, but it's kind of geared towards preachers. But you may like it too. There are other good ones out there, much more suited to you even. The ESV Study Bible is a good one. The MacArthur Study Bible. I don't agree with everything in any of these study Bibles. Because, again, these are people that are subject to error just like I am. Right? But, again, be careful with your study Bibles. Because, y'all, there's one for every single thing in life. You can buy the part-time firefighter basket weaver edition study Bible, the medieval reenactor study Bible. Now, maybe I'm exaggerating, but I seriously would not be surprised, all right? They've got one for everything. So be careful. If you're wondering about a study Bible, look at the author. See what you can find out about those that are the contributors to this thing. Go from there. If you have any questions, write me, call me, and I'll see if I can help you. One of my personal favorites, and I should have brought it with me, is the Reformation Study Bible. Now, that's in the ESV, but it is excellent. It is chock full of helpful commentary, and there are several great men and women study Bibles out there as well. But again, when you're studying the Bible, start with a faithful translation, okay? Again, the ESV, the New King James. The ESV is English Standard Version. The New King James, the Christian Standard Bible, the CSB. The New American Standard Bible, NASB. Start with something faithful. Now, all right, that's the first suggestion. Now, let's assume that you've got yourself a faithful translation. Well, how do you read the Bible? Understand this, all right? Certainly in life, when difficulty comes, we need to go to certain parts of the Bible for comfort, for encouragement, for wisdom, for fill in the blank, right? If you're struggling, the 23rd Psalm, the 46th Psalm, some of the things that we've been going over in here are very good passages to turn to. There's nothing wrong with that. If you have theological questions, there's nothing wrong with looking up a theological or looking up a passage that corresponds to your theological question. But what we're talking about is Bible study, right? Your own personal time of devotion. It's perfectly fine to find a theme to study, but I want to encourage you to go through the Bible as it was written, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. I'm not saying you have to start in Genesis and work your way through. What I'm saying is, in your own personal Bible study, pick a book of the Bible, start in chapter 1, verse 1, and go through it from the start to the finish. Personally, right now, I'm going through 1 Peter, all right? That's because previously I went through an Old Testament book. That's kind of how I do things as I go from Old Testament to New Testament. Let me encourage you. If you have never done any serious Bible study, there are great places to start. Start in the Gospel according to John. John chapter 1, verse 1. Start there. That's a great place. The book of Acts, if you want to get into something theologically astute and you want to go full bore, start with Romans chapter 1, verse 1, or Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. I want to encourage you to do that. It's not that the reading plans are not good. And there are some out there, like read through the Bible in a year, right? But the important thing is to make sure when you're doing your Bible study that it is just that, that you're going to God's Word for all the things that we've been studying, not that you are going to God's Word to mark off another thing on your checklist. One of the problems with programs is it can turn the Bible into a regimen, right? And I'm not saying that it isn't bad to have principled, disciplined Bible study. It ought to be, all right? But if the point of your Bible study is just to say that you've done it, and it becomes a drudgery, then drop back. There are some days when I read a single verse, and that's what I dwell on, right? Because of the gravity of the verse. Listen, just don't bind yourself to something that you have to complete. Because then Bible study becomes what it was never intended to be. All right? So, focus on the Word. Learn from the Word. That ought to be the real point. What should you be looking for when you study the Bible? A very simple approach to Bible study is this. When you sit down to study the Bible, pray before you read and ask God to help you see what He would have you to see, and to understand what He wants you to understand and how to apply that Word to your life. And then, as far as guidelines go, there's a few simple rules to follow. And yeah, I want to use the term rules because these are very important. All right. Rule number one, how do you read the Bible? How do you study the Bible? Rule number one, the Bible can't mean to you what it could not have meant to the original audience. I'll say that again. The Bible cannot mean to you what it could not have meant to the original audience. In other words, God's Word was written in time and space, and as readers, it's our job to figure out how the original audience would have understood what is written. All right? That's why things like commentaries are helpful. That's why things like studies are helpful. All right? And I'll talk more about those in a minute. But in other words, because God's Word was written to a specific audience, we need to figure out how that original audience would have understood it, because therein is the meaning. This doesn't mean that the Bible won't apply to you in different ways, okay? I'm not saying that. Take, for instance, God's command to submit to governing authorities. All right, don't be one of those people that say, well, I can drive as fast as I want because the Bible doesn't say anything about speed limits. Well, yeah, that's true, but come on, y'all. The Bible talks about obeying governing authorities, and if that's a law, and the law is not unjust, and that's a whole different topic. All right, we'll get to that at some other point. But the Bible calls on you to obey law. So again, the application of it is a little bit different than it would have been for the original audience. But the principle still remains the same. That's our job. Find the principle of the Scripture. So read the Bible in light of what it meant to the original audience. And that reads to rule number two. And really, rule number two is more of an avoidance. Avoid the exercise of, what does the Bible mean to me? All right? Look, and I'm saying that not in terms of applying the Bible to you, but you apply the principle of the Bible to you. You don't change the meaning of the Bible to fit you. This is not literature class. All right? We're not trying to interpret the meaning of the albatross in Coleridge's Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner. All right, that's not what Bible study is about. The Bible, back to rule number one, it can't mean to you what it wouldn't have meant to the original audience. And furthermore, in determining what the Bible means to you, you cannot negate the principles of the Bible. All right, how it applies to you, again, it may be different, but you can't change the meaning of the Bible to fit into your likes or into your lifestyle. The Bible says what it means and means what it says. Do not change it. There's some pretty fierce warnings about that. We should not change the Bible. The Bible ought to change us, okay? Now, what do you do when you have questions? It's not to say that everything will be smooth, but what do you do when you have questions and you're reading the Bible? Rule number three is always interpret Scripture by Scripture. In other words, as you're doing Bible study, if you run across something obscure, or a principle in the scriptures that you say, I don't know about that. Is what this passage is saying, is it saying it's okay to do this, or is it saying I ought to do that? When you run into those things, the principle for Bible study here is always interpret scripture by scripture. Don't just run with the concept and jump to your own conclusions. Take the obscure parts of the Bible and read them in light of the clear parts of the Bible. Because the scripture runs together, it fits together. If you find a concept that might lead you to think one thing about God, but then you know that God's word has taught something clearly in another place, go with the clearer teaching. Y'all, all sorts of books have been written and heresies have been launched when people have taken obscure concepts and run with it instead of using the Bible to interpret the Bible. All right? Rule number 4 goes along the same lines. And I cannot say this strongly enough. God never condones what His Word forbids. Did you hear me? God never, ever condones what His Word expressly forbids. If you don't remember another thing, if you're an old Providence person, and if I get hit by a bus today, if you remember anything that I've ever said from the pulpit, remember that, all right, or through the computer monitor at this stage. But God never condones what His Word forbids. If you remember anything, remember that, all right? And rule number 5, and rule number 4 should be obvious, but again, in applying God's Word, if your application goes against God's Word, your application is wrong. And to that end, rule number 5. Apply what the Bible teaches to your life. This kind of goes back to the whole study Bible thing or reading plan thing, all right? Realize the point of Bible study. It is the Word of life. We are the people of God, and it is the Word of God. The Word was given to us to transform us. Apply the Bible to your life. And how do you do that? Well, number 1 is by not rushing through it. It's by taking the time to seriously consider what you are reading and then asking God. You know, start with prayer, end with prayer. Ask God to use His Holy Spirit to apply His Word to you, to help you see what you ought to be doing in light of what you've read, or where you might have messed up, or what you should have a greater passion for. Fill in the blank. That's how you study God's Word. You gather the information, but then never skip that all-important step of asking, so what? How does this apply to me? Now, those are some simple rules for reading the Bible. But what about other suggestions? Again, books can be wonderful resources. Things like Bible handbooks, right? There are other things. This is gigantic, but it's the Evangelical Dictionary of Theology, right? And it's probably reverse on your screen here, but nevertheless, the Evangelical Dictionary of Theology. If you have a question about a theological item, you can look it up. Yeah, I just flipped open and I see dogma, right? What does the term dogma mean? Commentaries are very helpful resources. This is one of my favorite modern commentators, Dale Ralph Davis. This is his on Joshua. His stuff on the Old Testament is phenomenal. And what are commentaries? It's where a scholar, hopefully, somebody that's educated, somebody that has studied the Scriptures, goes through that book chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and applies it. There are other books that are written out there, study books that are specifically dedicated. For instance, this one is on the Gospel of Mark. It's called Let's Study Mark, and it's by Sinclair Ferguson. It's put out by Banner of Truth. To that end, there are some publishers that are much more trustworthy than others. There are some Christian publishers that will publish absolute garbage just because they think it'll sell, right? They're trying to make money. But others, like Banner of Truth, that's the first one that comes to mind. Excellent, excellent work there. Crown and Covenant Publishing, excellent stuff. Y'all, the possibilities are endless with this. I wanted to talk more about this. Remember, commentaries are people's opinions that they have written about the Word of God. Nothing is a substitute for the Bible, but don't be afraid to use great works from believers to actually dig into something. And finally, one last suggestion. Get in a church, y'all. Make sure that you're part of a Bible-believing church that will help come alongside you in your Bible study. Make sure that you have a pastor that you can talk to. I hope all of my people know, I'm here. Call me anytime. I tell people all the time, I sleep with my phone beside my head. If you call me in the middle of the night, it's not going to be a surprise. Ask Amanda sometime. All right? It happens all the time. And if you've been one of the ones that's called in the middle of the night, thank you. I'm glad that you have. Text me, whatever. If you have questions, make sure that you are in a church that you can talk to your pastor. And make sure that your pastor is trained. Make sure that he has the credentials. I'm not saying that I'm smarter than anybody else or anything like that. What I'm saying is make sure that your pastor is solid. That he believes that the Bible is God's Word. And finally, to that end, make sure that you believe that the Bible is God's Word. This is not the same as gaining academic knowledge, is it? Yes, it is knowledge to be gained, but this is a life or death matter. And it's not even about this life. Eternity is on the line. Put these things into effect, and I promise you they will serve you well. We're out of time. Let's pray. Our Father, I thank you for everybody that's joined today. I thank you for their patience in this little bit longer devotional thought that's actually several thoughts. And I pray that you would be with us all and spur us on towards faithfulness. Help us to study your word with gladness, realizing the gift that it is. And now go with us throughout the day and certainly this weekend. Please protect us, but also draw us to yourself. I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, thank you for tuning in this morning. This is going to be available very soon thereafter on sermonaudio.com and, of course, on Facebook here. I'll be back Sunday morning live at 9 a.m. on Facebook, but my sermon audio and video will be posted probably by 10 a.m. on sermonaudio.com/Old Providence. I hope to see everybody there, Lord willing, on the Lord's Day, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. And otherwise, I'll be back for the morning devotional on Monday morning, Lord willing, at 7 a.m. Thank you, and have an excellent day and weekend.